Thank you. Thank you very much, Brother James. Thank you for your message this morning. This one, not amazingly, because God was in it, sort of follows on from what you were talking about this morning. So the theme is still faith, and tonight's message comes from the book of 1 Chronicles. We're in 2 Chronicles this morning, so if you can take your Bibles and turn to 1 Chronicles, and go to chapter 19 and verse number 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 13. And this is Joab speaking, verse 13. Be of good courage, and let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people and for the cities of our God. And let the Lord do that which is good in his sight. I've entitled this evening's message, Faith is the Victory. And let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the opportunity tonight to open the book and to look into your Word, Lord, so that our faith might be strengthened and that we can be encouraged for the year ahead. I pray now that you'll fill me with your Holy Spirit and lead and guide throughout this message, for it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. This Old Testament passage of Scripture, we find the short but inspirational speech of King David's frontline warrior Joab as he prepares for battle against two large armies, the Ammonites in front of him and the Syrian forces behind him. Can you see already there's a little similarity with what Brother James was talking about this morning, overwhelming odds against God's people. As we start 2012, I wonder tonight if you're feeling a little anxious about what lies ahead. When I was putting this message together, I had been to the doctor and had a number of tests done to start the year. Basically, head to toe, everything was tested, tried to find out if I was okay, because the doctor, my local doctor, had said that I was borderline diabetes at the end of the year. So I was feeling a little bit anxious when I sat down and opened my Bible and I said, Lord, just show me a verse of comfort, something that's going to encourage me to start the year. And he led me straight to 1 Chronicles 19, verse 13. But we don't know. We're a little bit anxious ourselves because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen at work. We don't know what's going to happen with our kids. How are we going to make ends meet? Who am I going to marry? We know who you're going to marry, that sort of thing. But what decisions will I make concerning school? What decisions will I make concerning my future, young person? What will Bible college be like? Will it be as scary as everybody says it's going to be? Or will it be fine? These things can put just that little bit of anxiousness in our minds. Now, I know that God's in control and he's got it all planned out for us and all we need to do is trust and obey. It's plain and simple. But I think Pastor's been praying about this theme, the just shall live by faith and walking by faith, and it's right on the money. More than ever, in this shaky world, we need to live by faith and walk by faith. God's shaking things up so much more than ever in these last days that we simply must live by faith. The Bible teaches us that this world is going to get a lot worse before our Lord Jesus Christ returns. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica, "For that day shall not come except there be a falling away first." You say, how can that be? It's already in a sorry state. There's hardly a day goes by without a horror story or an earthquake, wars, rumours of wars, financial crisis. And the church and its people are not exempt. Lukewarm Christianity is doing more harm to the next generation than you can imagine. You know, when 9/11 happened 10 years ago, there was a 25% surge in church attendance in the United States. People felt they needed God. But not today. Do you know that only 8% of Australians attend any kind of church service regularly on a Sunday morning? Notice I didn't say Sunday night. How many saw this Christmas that Santa Claus is now an accepted part of the Christmas carol celebrations? Thankfully not here. But a lot of churches introduce Santa Claus. Remember, if you change a few letters around in the word Santa, you get the real culprit. Christian families are under increasing pressure to stretch the boundaries to accommodate worldly influences. Christian children are exposed to more of the world than ever before through the widening social media net. It's hard for teens and young adults to remain unspoiled, unspotted from the world and its idols. The daily battle between the flesh and the Holy Spirit is so intense, it's no wonder the pastor chose to remind us this year that we need to live by faith. True Bible faith, not some hope-so feeling. That would be superstition. No, pastor knows that for this church to remain firm, for this church family to remain steadfast, we must have faith and live by it daily. So for the next few moments tonight, I want to look at this Old Testament event from the pages of Scripture in which faith in our great God led to an amazing victory. I trust that as you learn of this battle against overwhelming odds, that you'll also be encouraged to step out by faith. So go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 19 and we'll go back to verse number 8 because I want you to see firstly that faith involves confidence in godly leadership. In 1 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 8 it reads, "And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men." Now these men were not going to a tea party. Let's go back to the beginning of the story. And I'll get you to turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 2 because I think it spells it out in a bit more detail there. 2 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 2. Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, has on one occasion in the past shown kindness to David. On his death, David, who's never lost that grateful remembrance, sent an embassy of sympathy to Hanan, the son and successor of Nahash. This the Ammonite princes saw as a trick prior to an attack on their capital, similar in character to that which happened to the Moabites. 2 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 4, "Wherefore Hanan took David's servants and shaved off the one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away." So they didn't appreciate the fact that David sent along these people as a sign of good faith. They said, no, this is a trick, and we're going to get them. There was something cowardly, and there was something deliberately provocative in the insult which Hanan put upon David's ambassadors. It was an insult which they well knew that David could not overlook. So they were spoiling for a fight. And Ammon accordingly prepared for war by raising a great army of all the border tribes against Israel. So it wasn't enough that he got his own people. He went out and he actually paid a sum of money. He paid a sum of not less than 1,000 talents, which works out at about $1 million in Australia's terms, to gain mercenaries for their army. And he finished up getting 32,000 men, consisting of chariots, horsemen and footmen, beside the 1,000 men whom the king of Machir furnished. Against this formidable foe, David sent his military commander, Joab, at the head of all the host of the mighty men. That is, the choicest of his troops. Joab found the enemy in double battle array. The Ammonite army stood a short distance outside their capital, Rabbah, while the Syrians and the other mercenaries were posted on the wide, unwooded plateau of Medeba, about 15 miles southwest of Rabbah. It was an excellent battlefield situation. And Joab found himself shut in between two armies. But Joab didn't falter. Why? Because he had faith in his authority, King David, a man after God's own heart. He had a personal relationship with the godly king and was loyal to him. He trusted his king and the men around him. Let me ask you, do you have a personal relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Lord Jesus Christ? Have you put your trust in him? If not, tonight is the night, my friend. Jesus could come back at any time, and if you're separated from God on earth, you'll be separated from him forever in eternity. Christian, who or what are you trusting in? Who are you putting your faith in during 2012? Not your flesh, I pray. My Bible teaches me the flesh is so desperately wicked, who can know it? Not material things, I pray. My Bible says that riches make wings and fly away. Church member, do you trust our pastor and his men to lead this church forward and attempt great things for God in 2012? Joab obeyed the one who had the rule over him. King David had been a great warrior himself, but he wasn't at the front line to lead this charge. Instead, he sent Joab, a man who had trained under his leadership, to do the job. How easy it is to forget the courageous Christians of the past whose labours and sacrifices make it possible for us to minister in Australia today. You know, this is the 50th year of Independent Baptist Churches in Australia. It started in 1962 by an American missionary named Randy Pike. This church was founded by another US missionary in Marvin Matthews. He set the tone for this church, missions-minded, with a purpose, to reach the lost from day one. We should give thanks for the saints of old, for their faithfulness in difficult times, and yet we're the ones who receive the blessings today. Like Abraham of old, they saw the blessings afar off. God changes his workmen, but he doesn't change the way that he works. He blesses faith and he judges unbelief. I'm thankful the pastor had us all go to bed uncharacteristically early on New Year's Eve so we could organise ourselves and be here on Sunday morning for Vision Sunday. Pastor was fired up with his vision for 2012, and I think we all have confidence that he prayed long and hard for these verses. We can all purpose to have faith in the authority here at Metropolitan Baptist Church, and let's do our part to support it. And notice secondly that faith involves personal sacrifice. Back to 1 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 12. So the battle is about to commence, and we've got the Amorites on one side, the Syrians on the other side, and the people of God in the middle. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 12, and he said, this is Joab speaking, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will help thee. Joab prudently considered the battle plan with his brother Abishai, and reckoned that the dividing of their forces might actually be an advantage. He determined that whichever part of the army was in trouble, the other should come to its aid. He supposed the worst, that one of them should be obliged to fall back, and in that case, upon a signal given, the other should send a detachment of soldiers to relieve it. You know, helping one another is a Christian duty. Christ's soldiers should strengthen one another's hands in their spiritual warfare. The strong must help the weak. Those that through grace are conquerors over temptation must counsel and comfort and pray for those that are tempted. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren, it says in Luke 22:32. Members of the natural body help one another, it says in 1 Corinthians 12:21. Joab understood that the victory could not be achieved without assistance and without sacrifice. Likewise, victory in the Christian life requires assistance and sacrifice. It's been well said that no man is an island. If you're thinking that you can achieve great things for God without anybody else's help in 2012, you're mistaken. For a start, you need God's help. But you also need some mighty men and women around you to keep you accountable, to keep you encouraged, to pick you up when your plans don't work out. So choose your friends wisely in 2012. You and I also need to make sacrifices for others, for our families, for our work colleagues, for our fellow church members. Who's going to tell that lost person at your workplace about Christ if not you? The work of God involves people oftentimes hurting people. More often than not, lost people. People whose circumstances are less favourable than your own. I heard this week that the fastest growing independent Baptist churches in the world are in the poorer areas of the Philippines. They've got a heart for God there and they love people. You can get involved in the work of God there because there are ministries for everyone. Tending to the blind and the lame, no worries, ample supply of them. There's even a garbage dump ministry. I kid you not. People living in a garbage dump and the missionary goes to visit them. And when he gets there, they call out, "Pastor, Pastor." He goes over to them and he ministers to them. And it just made me think, what are we doing? When was the last time that we gave out of our poverty to people in need? Sydney has its poor, its blind and its lame, just like the people of the Philippines. But did you also know that when Haiti was devastated by an earthquake in 2010, those same poor people in the Philippines gave all they could to help the folk of Haiti? They didn't have much, peso here, peso there, but they gave out of their poverty. Let me encourage you to get alongside people in 2012. You won't have to look far to find a need. Show your faith in God by helping others and enlisting the help of others to get even more work done for God this year. Will you ask someone to keep you on track? Because there will be times of discouragement, make no mistake. Apart from pastor, who would you turn to within the church family to discuss a troublesome issue? Should be someone you can trust and not some worldly work colleague. We're blessed to have so many mature Christians at Metropolitan Baptist Church. There's Bible college graduates. They've got Pastor James there, associate pastor, Pastor and Mrs. Ringwald. I mean, we're blessed to have people with such experience in our midst, and those training for the full-time ministry and then life stages teachers. Each one is willing to sacrifice their time for you. There's no need to feel on the outer here. You can have your faith strengthened. Notice thirdly that faith involves taking action. Back to the main text for this evening, 1 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 13. Joab's speech before the battle. "Be of good courage and let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people and for the cities of our God, and let the Lord do that which is good in his sight." That's not a long speech. I'm sure there have been lots of very long-winded speeches prior to entering into a battle, but he was the man who was straight to the point. He bravely encourages himself and his brother and the rest of the officers and soldiers to do their utmost. Great dangers reveal true courage. When Joab saw the front of the battle was against him, both before and behind, instead of giving orders to make an honourable retreat, one of the options, he roused his men to charge more furiously. "Be of good courage and let us behave ourselves valiantly, not for money, not for honour, not for fame, but for our people and for the cities of our God, for the public safety and welfare in which the glory of God is so much more interested. For God and our country," was his cry. Isn't our country worth fighting for? Isn't the suburb you live in worth claiming for the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't your home and family worth fighting for? Isn't it worthwhile to keep someone out of hell by telling them about the love of God? Don't leave it to someone else this year. Step out by faith and start that conversation. Ask the question, would you be 100% sure of going to heaven if you die? And follow through with answers from the Bible. Don't let the cults rule your neighbourhood. Letterbox your area. Keep an eye out for new neighbours and make friends. Why not invite people to your house for a meal? We need more Christians in Australia for the public safety and welfare of our country. The Ten Commandments are fading from memory in today's society. We're following America's lead in every avenue from tattoos to murder. I know of one major city in America where the mayor has tried to stop people killing each other, and he's failed. He's tried everything from money, programs, counselling, And still the killings continue. In desperation, he's contacted the independent Baptist preacher and offered him rent-free church buildings if he can find Baptist preachers to start churches in his city. Now that's a true story. He realises that what is needed is a return to Bible-believing Christianity to save his city. Like Sydney, Australia is heading down the same path. It's not safe to run out of petrol at night in this city. It's not safe to live in some areas of our city, especially if a Harley Davidson is parked in the driveway next door. We need people with real live courage and faith to start more churches to save our country. Thank God for Brother Charlie and Sister Janet there in Newcastle. I'm so glad that we're supporting them. If anyone can make a difference in that city, it's Brother Charlie. Amen? But we need more like them. And finally, faith involves confidence in God's abilities. And notice that in the concluding part of verse 13, Joab leaves the outcome to God. And the Lord do that which is good in his sight. Joab had faith that no matter what happened, God would bring about the right outcome. Romans 8 and verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." If Christ is truly ours, all things, one way or another, will be for our eternal good. The person who is the new creature in Christ may rejoice in all the precious promises God has spoken in his holiness. His present privileges and the sanctifying influences of the Holy Spirit are sure signs of heavenly glory. Faith in the promise will assure us that it is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. We're not yet made complete conquerors, and no true believer will abuse these truths to indulge in vain confidence. Faith in God is the best principle of true courage. For what need of fear have they who have God on their side? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalms 91 and verse 1, and it goes on, "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh unto thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. All our victories are from him. And while those who willingly submit to our anointed king share his glories, all his foes shall be put under his feet." In 2012, let us do God's work together by faith, and then God's will be done concerning us. When we make it our purpose to do our duty, we may, with the greatest satisfaction, leave the event with God. That doesn't mean we can think that our great deeds place any binds on God to prosper us, but that still he may do as he pleases, yet we can hope by faith for his blessings in his own way and time. God always rewards true faith. Let's say that together. God always rewards true faith. The Bible records that the Syrians were routed by Joab, and then the Ammonites by Abishai. The Ammonites seemed not to have fought at all, but upon the retreat of the Syrians, they simply fled into the city without striking a blow. Joab obtained an amazing victory despite incredible odds because he let God be God. The faith of this imperfect soldier was rewarded with deliverance for him and all his people. When we trust God, we get what God can do. But when we trust ourselves, we only get what weak people can do. The experience of Joab is proof that true biblical faith means obeying God in spite of circumstances. Unbelief says, "How can this be?" Faith says, "How shall this be?" Through God, we too can do valiantly in 2012. For it is he that will tread down our enemies. He will himself tread and trample them down, and he'll enable us to do it. One more verse and then we're done. Revelation chapter 19, verses 15 and 16. Revelation chapter 19. Love the back of the book, amen. Verses 15 and 16. Verse 15 reads, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The victory is right there in the Word of God, and you can claim it tonight. Be of good courage, and let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people. So what can we do in this fallen world? We can have faith in godly authority. We can support those who have the rule over us in the household of faith. We can make personal sacrifices by faith this year. It'll do your heart good. We can take action in our local communities to plant the gospel seed. Australia is still a Christian nation. Amen? And have faith in God's ability to get the job done. Keep looking unto Jesus. Remember that God loves you and draw on His promises. Faith looks to the future. Jesus could come back at any moment. May the Lord help us to have more faith in 2012. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you.